If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at a story of another traveler that traveled about, left home, and when he returned home, was very glad to be home as well. And it's a familiar story to many of us and most of us, the parable of the lost son. And we're going to look at that today as we celebrate our 31 years. And my message title today is simply Returning Home. And it's great again to see some of you come back. Some of you grew up in the youth group, and it's great to have you guys come back. And it's great to see those faces. And some of you guys have been here all along as adults, and it's wonderful just to see that continue on. And as Eric said, it's wonderful when we dedicate the children to the Lord, and when the parents are behind that as well, and dedicating their child to the Lord as well and to His service. So Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 11. I'm going to read the entire story of the lost son, the parable of the lost son, and then we'll go back and look at it. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So the father divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to another country. When he journeyed to this other country," hang on, I better leave my bookmark in place. I'll never find my way back there. "When he journeyed to this other country, there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want." I said I was going to read it all the way through, but let me stop right there. He began to be in what? Want. Wednesday nights, Jan Murray is leading us in the 23rd Psalm, in a study of the 23rd Psalm. And in that it says, "I shall not," what? "I shall not want." So something's out of whack right here, because when we're in the presence of the Lord, when we're living in His will rather than our will, and right here we can tell this guy's in his own will, he's immediately in want. When we live in God's will, we don't have that want. But it says, he went and joined himself, after he began to be in want, he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Got to do something, right? "He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, for no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and bread to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And when we read that, that's an expression of great passion and compassion, where it just hung on his neck and loved on him. Very deep commitment or connection there. "He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to him, or said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe.'" He didn't say, "Bring me one of my old tattered robes." He said, "Bring me the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And when you've done that, bring the fatted calf. Bring it here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But listen to the brother's response. 'But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, he comes home, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. Listen again to the father's response right there at the end. He said, it was right. Many times when we see things from our perspective, it isn't right. But everyone's standing on the outside looking in, they say, no, it is right to do that. So as we look into this story, Luke chapter 15, it started in verse 11. We've got to look at how it corresponds to our spiritual journey and see if it ties in with any things that we do day in and day out. Maybe a past life or a current life that we're living. So when we look at that, we have to go back. And let's read the very beginning of chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him and to hear him. This is talking about Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. And he tells a parable in here about a lost sheep. And he tells a parable about a lost coin, and then he goes into the parable about the lost son. In the midst of doing this in Jesus' ministry, the scribes and Pharisees, where are they? Well, they're right in the middle of it doing what? They're stirring it up. I know when we've had Bible studies before, anytime there was trouble with Jesus, generally you could count on a scribe and or Pharisee being there. I don't know why that is, but they were all there, ready to just stir it up and mix it up. So there's three different stories of redemption with Jesus Christ when we read these parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep, it talks about back in the ancient days, sheep were very valuable. And I know Pastor Jack Eldred, our founding pastor at Prayer Faith, wrote a book called The Power of the Average Church. And he said most churches are X amount or smaller, a small size, 100 or less, or 150 or less, something like that. Well, it was kind of the same thing. Most flocks of sheep were 100 or less. And so this goes on to say, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? So Jesus is still talking about the average flock, if you will. He says, but when one is missing, did you go after that one? The sheep are very, very valuable in those days. And he goes on to say, he called his friends and his neighbors, and he told them, rejoice with me, for the one that was lost is now found. And then we go on to read the parable of the lost coin with the lady down below. And she lost a coin, had 10 silver coins. If she loses one, she lights a lamp, and she checks her floor. And she's looking on that floor for the lost coin. And then it says she finds it. Jesus is comparing this of redeeming lost people or sinners to come to repentance. And then the third one, the lost son. Oh, and the lady, by the way, when she found that coin, what did she say? She called her friends and neighbors and said, rejoice with me, for I have found my coin. And then the third one, the lost son. The eldest son would have received more. And generally, they got twice as much as the younger. So he would have received 2/3 of his father's inheritance. The youngest one would have received 1/3. And back in the ancient days, the Jews, they said, don't divide up your inheritance too soon. That'll cause problems. Wait till they're older. And the young one came and said, hey, I want mine now. And the father did what? Okay, here you go. something about that Father still allowing us to do things. I think we call that free will. Father says, you know what you're doing. So you think, I'm going to allow you to do it. And we constantly want to look at God and say, why did you allow me to go down that path? And God is saying, why did you go past all the warning signs that I sent you? I mean, I was closing doors and putting up roadblocks all the way, and you just kept meandering through those and around them. God says, the Father says, okay, you want this? You think you know what's best? Go ahead. It's hard as a parent to stand back and watch your children go down paths that you think, I know they shouldn't be going down it, but what do I do? What do I do? I'm going to have the answer at the end of this, by the way. But it's hard to stand there and watch them go down that path. Like so many times, they take money and immediately they spend it. He did hang out for a few days, it said, before he took off to spend it. The son left, he squandered his money, he's now working with pigs. And he's thinking to himself, man, I sure do envy them and what they're eating. I wish I had a little morsel there. But it says in verse 16, and no one gave him anything. My Lord, I'm out there feeding the pigs and they're eating more than I'm eating. There's a certain point where we get to the end of ourselves. And we realize that I've tried to fix this. And all I've done is bungle it all along. And this son got to the end of himself. And he had a thought. He said, I perish with hunger. And he said, I will arise and go back to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned against you. And against heaven, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Would you please just make me one of your hired servants? Please just make me as fortunate as they are to be serving you and to get something because I have nothing. So he arose and came to his father. And he told his father that. I'm guessing his father had good eyesight. But he knew it was him coming. And as he looked up, he could tell his son was coming down the path. And he didn't run and tell people, keep that man away from me. I don't want anything to do with him. Did the father walk to him? Did he just stand there and wait for the son to come to him? What does it say he did to him? He ran to him. The father ran to him, welcomed him back. And the son gave him that speech. I'm not fit to be called your son. The father's response was the same as the other two. As he called everyone in and said, rejoice with me. For my son was dead and now he's alive. He said, let's make merry. And it says they did. And this is God's love. God's divine love says, man, I welcome you. I'm waiting for you. And by the way, when I'm out doing my work, I'm looking around to see if you're coming back to me. And I'm hoping there's a point in time where you say, I've had enough of myself. I'm going to come back to you. God's mercy was great. The Father's mercy was great. And I love this. As I was reading my commentary, it said, this reflected God's refusal, His refusal to limit the measure of His grace. Wait, what, Adam? God says, I'm not going to limit my grace. And I'm not going to let somebody tell me how much grace I can allow somebody. Everyone's always got an opinion, right? They want to tell you how much grace or mercy you should give someone. They did you wrong, blah, blah, blah. I was at the band contest yesterday. And I ran into a guy that did me wrong. That guy helped me out yesterday with a need that I had. I didn't treat him like he did me wrong. It was really good to see him, and it was one of those strange things. You're like, I looked away, thought, could that be? What's he doing here? Same thing I was, watching his son in the marching band. Different band. Way different school district, way far away. What are the chances of God bringing people into our lives that did us wrong? He says, how are you going to respond? Are we going to limit the measure of grace that we give others? Are we going to allow other people to limit the amount of grace we give others? Well, I wanted to, but my husband or wife, my friends, my family told me, said you shouldn't do that. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat and being burned time and time again. I'm talking about showing people grace and mercy. And God says, I will not allow anyone to limit the measure of my grace on my children. But the older son, his response was different. He thought of law. He thought of merit. He thought of reward. What's the difference? One is transactional, the older son. One is relational. And we talk about that a lot in different Bible studies. We talk about that on our Wednesday nights. We talk about that here. People that experience religion are experiencing transactions. People that experience Jesus Christ are experiencing relationship, intimacy with Him. And it's the same thing here. And the son's looking at it as a transaction rather than as a relationship. And the father tried to explain to him that it's not dependent. My love for you is not dependent on your perfection. But listen carefully. It's not dependent on your perfection. It's dependent on your willingness. Now that's a different way sometimes of saying submission. But it's their willingness to return to the Heavenly Father with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. How is your willingness to return to the Father today? And I'm not talking about returning to the Father's house. We're in the Father's house right now, right? I'm talking about your willingness to return to the Father in His house. We talked several weeks ago about my favorite channel, the Hallmark Channel. And the guy that said, I love my wife, and his friend told him, no, you don't. She's been seeing another man for a year and you didn't know anything about it. It's not about being in the same house with someone. It's not about being in the Father's house and coming here and going through a routine. It is about connecting in that household and connecting with the other family members in the house. As I look around today, I am touched, I am blessed by the people that I see here. Co-workers, family, young people, babies, members from the past that have come back to visit, members from the past that have come back to join, family members of babies being dedicated, people that have been here for years. Our friend Nicholas Otsoy from his brother Gregory from Guatemala, he joined us today with some of his family. What a blessing it is to have you with us. We have shared a relationship with the Otsoys for many, many years, longer than I've been a part of this church. And what a blessing it is to still have that relationship with you and your brother in Guatemala. For those of you that don't know, we have built several homes for widows down in Guatemala over the last handful of years. I don't know how many years. Who has been to Guatemala with us? Haley's been. I know Ann has been with us, and Angela's been with us. Eric has been with us. And who? Dustin, up right next to Haley, of course, his spouse. Yeah, Dustin went with us as well. I have a beautiful picture of you guys on that hillside, by the way, that I love, one of my favorite pictures from Guatemala. And so we've had the opportunity. So every now and then when you think, well, they're just sending money away, we're sending money away, but we're sending it away to somebody that we know and places that we have been. And what a blessing that is to have people join us through the years. How is your willingness today to return to the Father? Not to His house, but to the Father. As we celebrate 31 years today of doing God's ministry, I want us to pray in just a moment here. And I'm going to pray for a couple things. I'm going to pray for salvation. If someone just needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have not done that before, I'm going to pray for rededication. I want to pray just for you and health. I'm going to pray for addictions. I want to pray just for whatever. And I love Eric last week when he asked the church to come up and pray. And we're not going to do that today. But I love Eric said, I'm not going to tell you what to pray. And I'm not going to pray. I'm going to let you guys do the praying. And God says, part of your willingness to return to Him is to speak to Him. When we're done praying, I'm also going to pray for the meal so we can get that taken care of. Because I know everyone will be like, oh, no one prayed, we've got to wait. I'm going to pray for the meal. But when we're done with that, we're not dismissed. We're going to welcome some new members in today as well and have just a few minutes while we do that as well. So when we're done praying, please don't get up and start walking off. We're going to do our new members today. Let's go to the Father in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the 31 years that we've been able to, this church has been able to minister to people, to touch lives, to change lives, to transform lives. Lord, I thank You for the saints that have come before us. Lord, that have paved the way. I thank You for our founder who took that word from You and said, go build a house and serve Me in it. We thank You and we ask blessings on them for that. Lord, we ask You to bless those saints that are no longer with us but have come along and helped pave the way for our future. Lord, I ask You to bless those people that are currently a part of Prayer of Faith, that You would transform them and continue to strengthen them and bless them. Lord, I pray for our future, for our young leaders. I pray for You to just raise disciples up out of this church and grow them. If we started new opportunities for that growth through Bible study, through Sunday school. Lord, for the babies that are here today, I ask You just to bless them. See, they know their word. They respond to us. I ask You to bless those children today, Lord, those babies amongst us today. Lord, that You are already setting a path for them, that You are already setting in their heart to follow You. You are already setting in their heart to follow Your word. Lord, right now as we pray, I just ask for those that have never received Jesus Christ before, if that's you today, that You would just raise your hand so we could find you, we can speak to you for that opportunity to be life-changing. Those that have never accepted Jesus Christ, but they feel called today to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, do not miss the opportunity to do that. Maybe you have questions about it, if you would just let us know and raise your hand. Lord, as we look for that, Lord, right now, just for repentance as well, for those that just seek repentance for things that they've done, for places they are in their life right now. I just ask if that's you today, that you pray for yourself to be free from that. Lord, be free from addictions, that You would free people from addictions. Lord, there are so many powerful addictions out there. The addictions could be money, it could be spending, it could be gambling, it could be drinking, it could be smoking. drugs, whatever it is. Could be sexual addictions through pornography or the physical act, Lord, that you would help heal people of that right now. Lord, we want to pray for transformation, not just in word, but in actual lives being changed and transformed here today. Holy Spirit, we welcomed you into this place earlier. We want to continue to just hold this place open to you at all times. We want to submit ourselves to you. Lord, I pray for our new members that you would just help grow them and grow them in unity with the body. Lord, we pray for our fellowship meal that we're about to have, Lord, that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our body. And bless the fellowship to the nourishment of our souls. Lord, bless the hands that have prepared it. May this be a wonderful time of fellowship. Lord, we ask you to help us as we go out this week. Lord, that our actions would reflect you and your love and your light. Through our actions, we would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, be with us as we speak to others, those we know and don't know, that you would give us a spirit of gentleness and love as well. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless prayer of faith for the future of prayer of faith, that you would strengthen it, that you would grow it for the work of your kingdom. Lord, help us not limit our grace and mercy towards others. Help us receive others. And help us be willing to return to you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.